When we think about China ministry, that is back in the late 60s and in the 70s, we think about printing hymnals for the underground church, supplying the pastors of the underground churches with Bible study tools such as commentaries in various key provinces and locations in China. People think of Christian Communication Limited. And when you think about, when people mention Christian Communication Limited, then people will associate us with Mr. Ted Shrey. So this is a very simple way to introduce him. And lately I've been also thinking, for the last 40 or 46 years, if we are to use one sentence to describe Ted's passion, I would say that is teaching God's Word to the Chinese churches, not just overseas, but especially in China. That's been his passion for the last 46 years. For someone to maintain that one single focused passion, it's kind of rare in these days. And so in a way, I'm kind of very proud of Ted, not because he is my brother, but especially because of the way that he allowed God to use him in this very important ministry. Just now I was sitting down there and then I remember a Bible that Ted gave me when I decided to go into full-time ministry. He quoted Paul's words, "Therefore, I did not disobey the vision from heaven." And I think this is the best way to summarize Ted's ministry during this last 46 years, being consistent, being faithful to the vision that God had entrusted to him. So Ted, welcome to HCC.
This is how this church greet me, huh? I was afraid that Pastor Xue will use all my time for this body to speak in this congregation. He's gone. I took care of him many years when he was young, but now he left me alone here. But I'm glad that the pastor's wife is still here and helping me. Really, I'm delighted to be here today and to study and to share the word together with you. And as I sat down there and enjoying and also worshiping God in such a kind of music, which I have to say that I'm not too familiar with, I have the joyful spirit in my heart, even though I may not be able to show it physically. Standing up or raising hand and so forth though. But trust me, my heart is very much with you worshiping God in such a wonderful way with our heart and mind to our wonderful God. And I also thank God for this opportunity to study the Word together. May the Holy Spirit teach me and also through me and also help you directly to understand more about what this particular scripture portion which we are going to study this morning, what does that mean to you or to this congregation. And I'm very glad that the young people has already read the scripture portions that I am going to preach. Just a little background about this passage was about the person Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he was a cup bearer for the emperor of Persia. And his responsibility is very good, very important. Not only to taste what kind of wine that the emperor liked to have, the wine, but also his responsibility to is to protect the emperor,
not to have any poison to the emperor. So he has a very important role in the palace. But he heard about the news from his home country, Jerusalem. And he heard about how Jerusalem was being ruined and destroyed. And now he expressed his feeling to his own people about how he felt about the situation. He realized that Jerusalem, the city, was broken. And also he also believed God is using him with the blessing of the emperor to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city, rebuild the holy city. And I want to emphasize a little bit on the 18 and the 20 and the 19 and the 3rd and the 20, these three verses. Try to learn from this particular portion about the important lesson for all of us when we want to follow Jesus or want to serve him. First, he pointed out that in 17, that is, we will no longer be disgraced. And also told the Jewish people about the gracious God, gracious hand of God upon me. He trusts that his mission, going back to Jerusalem, will receive blessing from God. It is God's will for him to go back, and God's grace will be with him. This is what he believed. But as we study the following chapters, we realize that it is not that smooth. He went back to Jerusalem, and also he faced not only internal difficulties, internal rumors, and also internal disharmonies, but also external attack from his enemies. So, even though he wants to follow God's will to go back to Jerusalem, but that doesn't guarantee him a smooth journey and also a very smooth and a successful job to finish up to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And this reminds me when Paul received a vision from Macedonia. He responded positively, and he went to Macedonia. But was that journey very smooth? At the first city he visited in Macedonia, he faced prison, and he faced people doing him physically harm. So as we follow Jesus Christ, I would like to remind you, either whether you enter into service, ministry, service full-time, or just want to become a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ, one thing you cannot avoid, and you have to receive have to face the reality that is suffering and the difficulties is part of the picture. There's once we follow Jesus Christ, things will be smooth. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be blessed. Yes, you will be blessed, but in what terms? On what basis? From what Nehemiah has experienced, he followed God's guidance, but he also faced difficulties and the pressures. So as we face the sufferings and the difficulties, how do we look at it? The difficulties is not the whole thing. It's only part of the whole thing. It's a temporary, it is not long term. It is a battle, it's not a war. Sometimes, just not too long ago, I heard a sister said, she has lost a battle, but with tears in her eyes, she said she has won the war. This is the situation we are going to face. And also, how do we look at the suffering from the earthly point of view or from the heavenly point of view? So as we consider blessing from God, as we serve him, we have to have the confidence
Yes, we definitely will receive blessing from God. But it's not on our own terms. It's not on our own definitions of blessing. We have to look at it from God's point of view. And suffering, quite often, is a positive lesson that we learn, we go through. Actually, become a Christian. In Paul's letter, he quite often reminded us to become a Christian, it means to be crucified with Jesus. And what does that mean to be crucified with Jesus? That is to enter into a fellowship of suffering. This kind of statement, maybe many Christians don't like to hear. Because we want to come to the church to enjoy the peacefulness of the church. And we want to enjoy the singing of the song, praising God. And put all the troubles and the difficulties at our home or at our work or in the world just outside of this church building. We leave them out so that we can have a quiet place. So that we can enjoy peacefulness in the church. If you have this kind of expectation, this kind of objective of joining a Christian church, I'm afraid you'll be disappointed very quickly. Because joining a church means crucified with Jesus Christ, and it means entering into a fellowship of suffering. Suffering is a must. It's a must because Jesus Christ, through his suffering, he entered into victory. And through that, he enjoyed the eternity. And quite often, I remind our colleague, when we have bad experiences, that's not that bad, unless we don't learn from the bad experience. Bad experience can be a blessing to us so that we can be wiser and also we know how to avoid it. So when we face the sufferings in our lives or when we serve God, it's not just ask the question that many people I heard ask. Why? Why am I? Why is me that need to suffer this? Quite a few, about 8 years ago, I had a cancer, kidney cancer. I also have this kind of a question came to my mind. Why am I? Why is it me that have to face this? But very quickly, I learned that no matter how hard I ask this question, I wouldn't get an answer. So at that time, I said, okay, even though I can't get the answer from this earth, then I will wait till I get to heaven. I will ask God why at my age, at that time, face this kind of a sickness. But again, later on, I think about, yeah, would I bring this question to God when I go to heaven? I feel that by then, this is only a very, very small thing in my life. There are more things that I want to talk to Jesus. There are more things that I want to share with him rather than just several years, a part of my physical illnesses. So I just give up of bringing any kind of a question, this kind of a question to God. Say, why I have to face these problems? As William mentioned, that in the last 46 years I served God, there are quite a few times I have to say honestly to you, I ask God why I was in that position. I have the freedom to get out. Why God put me, not someone else, who is more capable, who is more resourceful, who is wiser? Why me? But I learned gradually the right answer, right question that I should ask is not why, but what it is for. There's a purpose in everything. Yes, God gave me such kind of experience. What for? There's a purpose there. What for? For me or for others? I hope that we all learn this, so that we will not just keep asking the questions that actually nobody on this earth can give you the answer. Even God himself, not that he cannot answer you, but God doesn't feel that this is the most important question he shall answer you. The most important question is the purpose of your experience, the purpose of your suffering, what for? It is equipping you. It is building you up. So that next stage, when you have greater difficulties, more problems, then you have the foundation, you have the strength, you know how to face it. And the most important thing is you can help others as well when others suffer the same like you did. So it doesn't mean that even though on one hand we have to accept the reality that is even though we love God, we serve God, but we will face difficulties. But it doesn't mean that we should look for difficulties. We should look for the sufferings. No. God in his own time, he will let us experience this and that in order to strengthen us, to build us up. We remember the Lord's Prayer when the disciples of Jesus asked Jesus, teach them how to pray. So Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. And one of the sentences of the Lord's Prayer is, deliver us from evil. In the last few years, there was a very famous book called The Prayer of Jabez. Also, it says that bless me, keep me from harm. And some people say that, well, we should ask, this kind of prayer is kind of selfish though. We just pray God to give us blessing. Would that be too selfish? But again, first of all, you remember that it was the prayer that Jesus taught disciples. Deliver us from evil. Free us from sufferings. I think that many of you have been flying in the air one time or the other, even though sometimes I think that this congregation looks quite young, and I think that quite a few of you must have been flying one way or the other to short or long distance. Do you remember the steward? How will she instruct us to use the air pump? Is that right? Dropping the oxygen air pump if there's a need during the flight. You remember that? How did she teach us as the passengers? If something happened, the air pump drops in front of us. Should we just put the air pump just in front of us immediately, or to help perhaps the children or the elderly person sit next to us first? Which is first? That's air steward. This will remind us what to do first. You just make sure that you yourself be protected first. Am I correct? Can you say that it's a selfish act? No. Because if you are being protected so that you can help the others, if you are not being protected, you can't help others. So from this particular portion, first lesson I would like you, all of us, to learn is suffering is a mark of a Christian. You will say, well, I never faced any suffering. All my life have been very wonderful, very happy, very blessed by God. I wonder whether you forget about your position. You are entering into a battlefield once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You realize that? You are entering into a battle with Satan. He is trying to use all different ways and powers and strength to draw you away from God. It is a spiritual battle. Only when he just give up on you is he will consider that you are already on his side. He never need to bother you. But if you want to follow Jesus Christ, it is against His wish. It's against His desire, and He will try all way, all different means, try to let you face difficulties. And Jesus loved us so much, and He allowed this happen to us, so that we can become stronger, and that we can become real soldier for Jesus Christ. And then in this passage, it also indicated that as a Nehemiah, even though he was a leader, but he considered himself as a servant of God. He felt that he is only a servant. He is not just a leader, he is a servant of God. The servanthood, the mark of being a servant, should be always on our forehead. Sometimes we forget about we are servant of the Lord. We just want to do this and do that on our own reasoning or our own like or dislike. But as a servant, our most important attitude is to do what God wants us to do. Being a worker in the Christian organization for many years, I have faced many challenges, and many colleagues and other organizations people will say that the goal of our organization is to grow bigger and bigger. The bigger, the better. Or our organization should try to do new things. The newer things, the better. But too bad, I couldn't find that teaching in the Bible. The most important thing is not try to do big things or to do new things, but to do things that God wants us to do. This is a very strict discipline though, because our own temperament, we tend to do certain things which we like, which is easy for us, and tend to do certain things which we don't, or we tend not to do certain things which we don't like. But as a servant of God, do we have the choice? So the most important thing is understand our position, our role. We are only a servant. We only do God what God wants us to do. It's no excuse. It's no reason. Just say, because this is Lord's work, so I'm the one to do it. Don't forget, God has many, many servants. He not only has you, His own servant, but also has others. You are not the one servant. You are only one of the servant. So let's humble ourselves before God, either in serving in this church or go to the mission field, whatever your work is. We first ask God is, what God want me to do? It's not that I like to do this, and then jump to it, though. First ask God. How do you know this is God's will for our lives? I think we can consider our gifts, our strengths, and our experience, and also how the Word of God speaks to us, and also the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And also the God's people next to us, our mature Christian next to us, He can give us advice and also confirm what we felt that it is God's desire, and that person can confirm that. Recent years, even though I had many opportunities to work with, say, people working in the organizations for about 30 years or 20 years, they are around 40, 50s. I find that there is a very an area which is very lacking, especially among the men servants of God, Chinese men, because we don't like to speak up our own feelings too easily. We feel that to speak our own feelings is a very difficult thing. Not that we try to hide, but to describe things, to describe events, is easy. To describe plans is easy. But to describe our own feelings is difficult. So, just a few years ago, I decided to have a life from the time that I get rid of all the committees, members, board members, or whatever, that kind of administrative responsibilities. I choose to be a person which I called it to be a mint. I'm not trying to propagate me, but I try to describe what I am, what I think it is important. Mint stands for, M stands for mentoring. Because lots of people, I feel that they need friends. At the same time, they need people who may gone ahead of them, have gone ahead of time or of them for quite a number of years, may have more experience. I want to help them to be a mentor. I stands for inspiring, especially many young people. I feel that their gifts, their opportunities, their potentials is way beyond what they are doing. And I want to encourage them, inspire them to see the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. And also try to help them to see how they can put into the great plan of God in this particular century. Try to inspire them. And also, N stands for networking. Networking. Because years of experience and relating to different people, so I can introduce a person to another person, or from one organization to another organization, or not to work, but also to be in another person's care, that kind of networking. The last word, T, stands for teaching, teaching the Word of God. After I explained my wish for the rest of my life to another person, he said to me, "Do you have a copyright on this?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "May I use it?" "Gladly, gladly." What I want to introduce this to you, I want to see more and more copycats among you people. Because there are people next to you, need your friendship, need your wisdom, need your advices, be their mentor. And also there are people need to be inspired, to be challenged, to go out, to reach out, to move forward. And also there are people, they need you to do the networking. I believe that you must have several friends. And also, the most important thing is T, that is teaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God. So, this is the second lesson I would like to draw your attention to be a servant of God. The third point is the last verse of this chapter. That is, if those people against you, those people do not participate in building the city of Jerusalem, then they don't have any share, no share, nor any claim, nor any right in this important, majestic building project. Holy cities need to be repaired and built all the time. And should it be done only by the clergy or a few of the church deacons or the council members? I don't believe so. Too bad. Many Christians come to the church. They just want to have a peaceful life in this period of time on Sunday morning. They are not thinking of serving because they feel that they are too tired. They have already been serving outside of this church, in their own business or in their family, they are so busy. So they want quietness. But church need to be built. Church member is not just come here to worship and then go. You are part of the building project. You are part of the church that rely on you to build. Christian faith is a very personal issue. Everybody has to make a decision himself, yourself, to make the decision to follow Jesus. But it is not a private matter. Can you see the difference? Personal thing is no one else can help you to make the decision how you want to follow Jesus. But this is not a private matter. Christian faith is a community. You join a community. Even suffering, you join a fellowship of suffering. So, I'm very sad to see, especially when I go to China, to see large crowds worshipping in the Christian churches. On one hand, of course, everybody should be happy. Every visitor who goes to China will have this kind of impression or report or testimony and telling people like you say that how God is blessing the church in China. So many people there, always full. But I can tell you, if you have the time, not only to go to Christian church, you go to the other temples, you go to other places, they worship other idols, you will have the same result. Same impression. Also many people. Young people, old people, just like you see in the churches. And why I say it is sad to see that? Because I find that many Christians have no difference. No difference. When they come to the church or compare with those people who go to the temples to worship idols. The only difference is they change their idol. Not Buddha or other idols, they change, they use Jesus as their idol. When they have problems, they come to the church or come to Jesus asking for healing. When they have problems, they will come. Of course, when their prayers be answered, they also come because they want to show gratitude. And other religious people among Chinese, we will say, Wan Yun, because we have already receiving blessing from our God, so we go there to show our gratitude. And many testimonies we hear in China among from the Christians are also like that. Testify how God helped them or healed them or helped them to overcome these problems and that problem. So God is being used. God is being used. Or God is being worshipped as an idol. So what we would like to see that, we want to see the Christians in China. Yes, to go to church is wonderful. But what are they doing in the church? Are the church teaching the word of God to them? Do their faith have the foundation, based on the foundation of the word of God? That's why this is our very focused and important ministry at this moment. Try to teach the Word of God from kindergarten age to the adult, old age people with lesson book, with curriculum, and also with trained teachers so that the students can learn the Word of God when they were still young and also learn to live a life according to the Bible. To build the purpose of Nehemiah's return to Jerusalem, first we may look like, yeah, his objective is to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. But that is only the beginning. It's not the end. This is not the entire mission. As we continue to read the book of Nehemiah, we realize that, yes, he finished the building of the city of Jerusalem. But in chapter 8, he asked the scribe Ezra to proclaim the word of God and also to ask the leaders of the Jewish community to make sure the Jewish people understand the word of God and also help the Jewish people not only to understand but to have response to the word of God. And once they heard the word of God, many Jewish people at that time, they cried because they realized that they cannot compare with the standard of the law that God gave to Jewish people. They cried. And they repent. They repent. And God sent his servants to bless them, encourage them, to give them joy because they repent before the Lord. So as we come to this church at this moment, Even though the building is important, the city of Jerusalem is important, but the most important thing is there is the holy temple in the holy city. Holy temple is the church, and we are individuals, we are also the temple of Jesus Christ. This is important, but we are the most important people, important ones in the whole this church. And it's not just the church itself, but also what the church is doing is to preach the word of God, which is natural thing. Is that right? Church that naturally preach the word of God. But I can tell you that many churches around the world, including China, including Hong Kong, and many other places, the word of God are being diluted. The word of God are being marginalized. The word of God are being used. The word of God is not really put the center of individual life and not in the family or in a church. So 5 years ago, we started the China Bible Teaching Ministry. This is what we would like to emphasize, which we feel that God is working at this moment to arouse to arouse the kind of hunger of, say, we want to hear the word of God. Because we are hungry, we want to be fed with the word of God, not just a human wisdom. And also, great commission of Jesus Christ, he gave to his disciples. The most important thing is, say, to make disciples. It is very clear to make disciples, not just to preach the gospel. But how to make disciples? That is to teach people, to teach the word of God, and also to help people to obey him. This is the way of becoming a disciple. So let us also all together commit ourselves, say, we believe word of God is important. And just like in Nehemiah's time, he considered the word of God is important. But to understand, and just to know, to have the knowledge of God's word is not sufficient. But people's lives have to be changed. And so that we can see the end of the chapters of Nehemiah, people's lives being changed because there are holy words in their lives. So I pray that when the new Jerusalem comes, when Jesus comes back again, and we understand that we are part of the Christian church, we are part of the family, and we ourselves come to the church is not just to relax and to sit back, but to build a church that glorifies God and to understand his word so that we can love him more. This is the purpose of waiting and preparing ourselves to the time when Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, are you ready? Because it says in this chapter, the final verse is, there are some people have no claim on the building of Jerusalem. They have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Will you be happy to be like that? When the new Jerusalem comes, when Jesus comes again, will you have a share in it? Will you have a part in it? Do you have a right in that city? If you trust God and want to follow him, as what I try to describe, willing to be crucified with Jesus and willing to really follow him as his servant, and also to really want to be part of the whole building project. What I mean building project is not physical building. Physical building can be destroyed, it can be broken. But I'm talking about the church. And I'm talking about the holy temple. I'm talking about you. May God bless you. And also let us all live a life that is pleasing to God's eyes. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we can gather together to listen to your word. May your Holy Spirit continue to teach us, to help us, so that we not only understand you, but also can live according to your desire in our own different lives. and may your name be glorified. We pray and thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.